We want to welcome you tonight on a Wednesday night. What a great time to be together. I know you all are so busy with shopping and cooking and cleaning and preparing and putting up the tree. Can I tell you a real quick story about our Christmas tree? You know, every year we get a Christmas tree and we put it up and the kids and all that stuff. And this year we just got home from Africa and we didn't even think about Christmas yet. And Tina said, we need to get a tree. I said, well, let's go get one. So we went out and we saw this stand and we looking at the trees and 6-foot trees and 7-foot trees. And we saw this little 3-footer there. We looked at each other and we said, yeah, let's just get this little 3-footer. It'll be fine. So I grabbed it and threw it in the back of the car. It was so easy. It was like, this is going to be great. We took it home and we thought, what are we going to do with it now? It's supposed to be on a tabletop, but we didn't want it on a tabletop. So Tina had this 3-foot or 4-foot like basket. And so we stuck it in the basket and made it straight, decorated it in about 20 minutes. And we thought, well, that's not bad. You know, that's not bad. I mean, when you get older, that's kind of good. You know, we don't need this big tree in the house, right? So what happened is my son comes over and he looks at the tree and he said, Dad, where's the Christmas tree? Because I always do Christmas Eve at our house, right? And I said, well, that's it. He goes, that's not a Christmas tree. So that was the first reaction. Then my daughter, Rebecca, she looked at it. She goes, Dad, where's the Christmas tree at? I said, sweetheart, that is a Christmas tree. Well, we looked at each other and said, let's go back and get another tree. So that one went over to the family room, and now we got the big tree that's in there. But so I'm sure you're in the middle of all that stuff as well. But it's a great time of the year, isn't it? And you know that this is the time of the year where you can really expect God to move in your life powerfully. You know, this is a great season, a great moment for us to be together as family and to just really call upon the Lord and ask God, expect God to do miracles, expect God to do great things. And I heard some really good reports today of people that got breakthroughs and miracles. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. God's not too busy to keep doing miracles during Christmas. So it's a wonderful thing. Amen. So let's get right to the word tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of this meeting tonight on Wednesday night. Tina and I are delighted to be back. Can't hardly wait to be with you again on Sunday. We want to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, and this is a continuation of Sunday morning. If you weren't there on Sunday morning, you're probably going to have to check out and get that copy so that you can get a little bit of background. I don't have time to deal with that, so I'm going to go right into Romans chapter 8, verse 6, but we're really talking tonight about spiritualizing a person's mind. You know, you and I need to have a choice. We're going to choose between a carnal mind or a spiritual mind. And the choice is ours. And basically, we need to continue to invest in ourselves some principles that will help us to keep it spiritual and not carnal. But this is why. Because Paul wrote, he said this, to be carnally minded is death. Now, carnal there doesn't necessarily mean sinful. It means earthly. It just means natural. It means worldly. You know, when your mind is on the things of this world, it's going to end up in death. But he goes on to say, here's the contrast. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So life the way God has life, the Zoe life. He wants to give us the God life. So spiritual mindedness will introduce us into that or cause us to cross over into that kind of life. And then also peace. So everybody say with me, shalom. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness. So to be spiritually minded, not only do you have life and life more abundantly, but spiritual mindedness will also introduce you to wholeness. Now, who wouldn't want to have wholeness? We all would want wholeness. I mean, come on, think about it. So then all I have to do is spiritualize my mind. I have to have a spiritual mind. So let me just give you 6 ways to spiritualize your mind. And number 1 is make the right choice. You might want to write that down. I've got to make the right choice. And this choice, ladies and gentlemen, is a continuous choice. It will happen repeatedly throughout the day. It will not be just, well, I get up in the morning, I'm going to make a choice to be spiritually minded. No, I wish it was that easy. It will be continually throughout the day. And if you're not careful, if you're not stewarding your mind, you will get caught up in your day and then go, oh man, I got carnal minded. And it just sneaks up on you. So it's a discipline that we must develop, but it's based in our choice. It is your choice and it is my choice. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And this is what the prophet says. He says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." So now we have a little insight on the choice. My choice rests on the foundation of I trust in God. If I trust in God for what I'm facing or what I'm experiencing, that is the foundation upon which I can build to make the right choice. Now, I know that God is for me and not against me. So I can make the choice to begin to believe him and keep my mind stayed on him. But notice that God does this. He said, "You will keep him not only in peace, but perfect peace." I love that. I mean, peace is good enough, but give me perfect peace and I'm about to shout because God is just too good. Amen. I mean, come on, tell somebody, God is good. Amen. All the time, man, perfect peace. And he says, as long as you keep your mind stayed on him. Now look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. So there is a process of renewal. It's a process of constantly reconnecting to the mind of the Spirit. He says this, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So when he says the spirit of your mind, he's saying that there is a connection in the realm of the spirit that is in your natural mind. So there's a renewal in that realm. So I can be tapping into the spiritual realm through my natural thinking as long as my mind is stayed on him. And then I get to operate in perfect peace, perfectly whole. Whole in my finances, whole in my marriage, whole in my relationships, whole in my walk every day, whole in my confidence. I don't lack anything. I walk through the day feeling confident and more than a conqueror. Don't you get frustrated? I do. When I read the Bible and it says I'm more than a conqueror and I feel like a chump. Or I feel like I'm defeated. I mean, that bothers me. It's like God's telling me I'm supposed to be like more than a conqueror. And I'm walking around defeated. Well, maybe it's because I haven't spiritualized my mind. Maybe I haven't put my mind on him. Maybe I haven't kept it there. I haven't stayed it. And it means to dwell there. It means to dwell there. So whatever you have to do, maybe you just need to get radical. Maybe you need to write some notes and put it on the refrigerator. Maybe by your bathroom mirror, you need to just say, keep it on the Lord. You know, keep your mind stayed on him. Whatever you have to do, call your friend and say, "Hey, where's your mind right now?" We need to take this more serious than what we normally do. We think that when we walk out of the church building, we get back in our car and we go home, we're all like really spiritual. But we know that's not true. In church, it's hard to stay spiritually minded, let alone out there in the world. And when there's all of these side things that kind of distract us. So the first principle is you have to make the right choice. Now, number two is probably my favorite out of all of this because it is the most powerful weapon in my arsenal as a believer, and that is ventilating my mind. So the first is I have to make the right choice. Number two, to spiritualize my mind, I have to ventilate my mind or my thinking. And Jude, verse 20 and verse 21 says this, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." I believe personally that praying in the Holy Spirit will ventilate your thinking. It will clear your mind. It will keep it spiritually connected. You see, it's very difficult to operate on the carnal level when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you've not developed this discipline in your life, I want to encourage you to do it. You say, "Well, how often should I pray in the Spirit every day?" Well, you know, how much do you want to stay spiritually minded? You know, it's something that we engage in all the time. If I'm walking through a hallway or I'm sitting waiting to get in the barbershop and get a haircut or I'm maybe got the grocery line and I'm standing waiting, there's four people in front of me, man, I've got time. And I realize that that time is mine, and I'm the steward of that time. Therefore, I'm going to start tapping into some of the principles of making the right choice so that I could tap into perfect peace. I'm going to develop those disciplines in my life so that it's constantly before me. And I'm going to be praying in the Holy Spirit, even if I have to pray under my breath. Sometime you just have to excuse yourself from work. Say, you know, I need to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. And you go into the stall, and you really don't need to do anything. You just go into the stall, and you close the door, and you're like, oh, Jesus. 7 minutes later, you get out, you close the door, you go, boy, I feel a whole lot better now, man. You just have to keep your mind ventilated. Keep your mind breezed. Let the winds blow through your thinking. Now, how do I know that? Because in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, these are life verses for me. This isn't just a message tonight. These are my life verses. This is something that I've initiated and I do on a regular basis. I try to pray in the Holy Ghost an hour a day, sometimes more, sometimes a little less, but most of the time at least an hour a day, because I cannot afford to keep my mind earthy. There are too many circumstantial evidences that are presented to me every day that tip the scales and I move from peace to turmoil. I move from peace to discomfort. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the enemy has arranged our day to constantly put us in the realm of discouragement and depression and all of the, you know, despondency. And so I cannot afford, you can't afford to have a depressed preacher. My wife doesn't want to be married to a discouraged husband. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I was thinking about this today. I was sending somebody something on Facebook, and I looked at my profile and it said, say something about yourself. And I was going to say, I'm a happy man. But I didn't want to embarrass anybody else. I didn't want anybody else to, you know, I thought, well, man, I shouldn't be bragging. But I'm happy. I can't help it. I'm just a happy man, especially because I'm home from Africa, baby. I am happy. You know what I'm saying? But I have to recognize the fact that God said I can stay in perfect peace. Well, I can't just put that all on him. See, I can't put that all on him. And the reason why we want to pray in the Holy Ghost is because 1 Corinthians 14:2. Did you put it up there already? I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit. And just that last phrase, say it with me. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. I love a good mystery. Don't you? Do you ever watch a mystery on TV? It's like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. And the other day, Tina and I were watching a sad movie. It was a sad movie. I don't know why we watched it. I said, honey, this movie is sad. I can't handle it. We're both sitting there crying. But I figured it out. It was like, oh, I know why she did that. Because she asked her to do this. And sure enough, that was what it was. Everybody likes a good mystery. But you see, there are mysteries in the realm of life that can only be known through praying in the Holy Spirit. And these mysteries are made known to your thinking. But they are mysteries to the spiritual connections. They're mysteries to the God life. They're mysteries to the peace life. And ladies and gentlemen, to ventilate your mind by praying in the Holy Ghost will connect you to these mysteries. Meeting with a gentleman yesterday who's been married for 12 years, who's going through a really tumultuous time in his marriage, who have already resigned that they're going to be divorced. There is no hope. He said, she'll never talk. If I bring up church, she screams. She doesn't want anything to do with church. And he said, Pastor, is there any hope? I said, you know what? I don't care what she thinks. I am a successful man of God, and I think I can reach her. He's like, how are you going to do that? I said, because I'll have mysteries unknown to me about this situation that will be revealed to my thinking by the time I talk to you tomorrow. And guess who called me this afternoon? Yeah, she called me, not once, but twice. And she didn't want to come to church, didn't want to talk to the preacher, doesn't want anything to do with the church. And she called me twice. I told him, I said, you know what? We're not going to try to get her back in your marriage. I said, we're going to tell her that she needs to talk to me in order for me to help you reestablish your life. How's that sound? He said, man, that's a great idea. I said, I think so too. God just gave me that idea. Because I'm not pressuring her about you need to get back with this man and Bible says and God says. And no. It was, I need you to talk with me to help me to help him to rebuild his life. Would you be willing to do that? Man, she can't hardly wait to unload on me about him. But you know what? That wasn't my idea. That was a mystery spoken to me of the Holy Spirit about her that came through my natural processes that I released in the normal conversation. Did you know there are so many things that God wants to release to us through the ventilating of our mind, spiritualizing our mind, that will invest into our natural circumstances? It may be a problem that you're facing. It may be a solution you're looking for. It might be a struggle you're having in your business or direction in your life. That's why it's so important to stay spiritually minded. Number three, I love this one. Fill your mind. Did you know out there, every moment of every day, the enemy and the world is attempting to fill your mind? I mean, just an onslaught of an avalanche of stuff. No matter where you go, it doesn't matter. I mean, folks, we're driving around Africa. I mean, poverty. Nothing. The bush. I mean, like elephants, tigers, bears, all that stuff. I mean, this is the real deal. Grass 8 feet tall. You don't know what's in that grass. Crazy stuff. And then we drive up on a big pink billboard advertising cell phones. I mean, go figure that, right? It's an attempt to impart thought. It's like that everywhere you go, and especially here in America. There's an attempt to fill your mind with thought. And it's difficult if the thought has its base in the flesh or the natural or the carnal or the earthly, and we're trying to keep it spiritual. So we have to fill our mind. That's why Colossians 3:16, one of my favorite verses, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And of course, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But you and I have to decide what fills our mind. You and I have to decide that. And you know, sometimes we almost have to like push the alarm button. A danger, danger. There's an attempt to fill my mind with carnal things, earthly things. Danger, danger. It ought to naturally go off in our spirit so that we recognize it. There is an attack at this very moment to despiritualize my thinking and to get me to walk in carnal thinking. So I have to do something really quick here. What do I have to do? I've got to fill my mind with the word. Meaning there are circumstances that are closing in on me. Circumstances are closing in on me and they're creating thoughts in my mind that are causing me to become earthly. And if I'm earthly, what's going to happen? Defeat. In other words, it's death. To be carnally minded is what? Death. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. I'm going to choose life and peace. I don't like death. There's nothing good about death. I don't care about seeing my relatives and family members at somebody else's death expense. I don't care. Death is not, it's not worth it. And so you and I should never expect death. We should always look for life and peace. So therefore, when there is an attempt through circumstantial evidence to create the thoughts that entrap us into natural earthly thinking, I have to literally take out a scripture. Now, this is how I quit smoking. When I got saved, many years ago now, but I was smoking for 12 years. I had smoked about 2 packs of cigarettes. I was 23 years of age, so I started smoking when I was 11. Isn't that terrible? I was 11 years old and I was smoking. But for 12 years, I had smoked, and I tried to quit, and I came up and I got prayer, and the people were praying and oiling me down and smacking me and trying to come out and all that stuff. And I'm still smoking, you know. It's like, that ain't working. This is not working. I'm liking my cigarette, you know. And I smoke the cigarette before I get to church and throw in the breath mint, do whatever I had to do. And I remember, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Jim Healy. I can't remember. Somebody told us, here's what you do. You get a piece of paper and you write the scripture on it and you roll it up like one of the cigarettes and put it in the pack. And so when you go to reach for a cigarette and you pop it out and one of these scriptures come out, ha-ha, God got you. And you open it up and you read it. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So suddenly I have this urge to engage in this act and I begin reading the word. And as I continued to do that, every time the urge to engage came, one day, and it wasn't very long, we were on our way to the islands up at Put-in-Bay because that's where we first met. We always go to the monument. That's where we had our first kiss. And we always go back there to have our 1,500 and some number kiss again. And we were on our way across, and I took those cigarettes. I said, I don't need these. And I tossed them, and I never picked them up again. And I didn't need a patch. I didn't need, you know, psychotherapy. I didn't need hypnosis. I just had the word. So what I'm suggesting to us is that, number three, you have to fill your mind with the word of God, because you and I will be overtaken by what is written in God's word. Watch, just like you will be overtaken by your circumstances. Have you ever been overtaken by a circumstance? All right. Am I talking to the right people in here? Okay, we've all been overtaken by circumstance. Just like you're overtaken by circumstance, you can be overtaken by the word. How many know to be overtaken by a circumstance ends in death? But to be overtaken by the word of God ends in what? Life and peace. Come on, say it with me. Life and peace. See, you and I, like Joshua, had confronted the people of God. And we said, you know, here's life and death. I mean, God presented to Israel, here's life and death. Choose which one you want. Choose this day. Do you want life or do you want death? I say choose life. That's what God, he gave us the answer. He said, I want you to choose life. And so I can be overtaken. So I can be overtaken as well by the word of God. That's why, for the life of me, I don't understand why people don't get in the word, who don't use the word to fill their minds with the word, because that's the only way you can keep your mind spiritual. John 6:63 says, my words are spirit and they are what? Ow, life. Now watch this. They're spirit. So when you're reading it, it's in your lap. It's not just ink on paper. It's not just words of man. It's words of God. And they are spirit. So when I'm reading it, I am spiritualizing my mind. You follow me? See, and what that does is they are spirit and life. So every time I put the spirit in my brain, its result or its effect is life. So I'm walking around like in life. I've got life, man. I'm vibrant. I'm alive. I'm happy. I'm in charge. I know where I'm going. I've got a destiny. I believe in my God. He's able. You know, I have an expectancy of good about my life. I don't know. God's going to do this. See, you haven't spiritualized your mind enough. You can always tell somebody who is carnally minded. When you talk to them, it doesn't take long. And most of the time, when a person is carnally minded and you tell them they need to spiritualize their mind, they get mad at you. I read my Bible. Well, you ain't reading it enough, dude. Because if you were reading it enough, you'd be happy right now. You're not happy. You're getting angry at me. And anger hasn't had its seat in God's life. It has it in the natural life. See? So that's number three, right? Number four, we got like a bunch of these left here. So number four, I like this one. Take a daily inventory of your thoughts. This is really important because as a man thinks, so is he. And if I want a spiritualized mind, I've got to like take an inventory of what have I been thinking. Have you ever said this to somebody? What were you thinking? Well, the reason why you ask them that is because they don't know. And how many of us could run a business if you didn't know what your inventory was? You can't. How many of us can run a life if you don't know or have taken inventory of your thoughts? Because your thoughts are the seedbed of your future. And so if I'm having thoughts that are earthly and I don't even know it, then I'm really destined to become what I'm thinking. So number four is take an inventory of your thoughts. If they don't, I like to do it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. If they don't prove, this is how I do it. If they don't prove the will of God, they're out. Can you put that one up there, 1 Corinthians 12, 2? Okay, I'll just read it. Let me know if it pops up. I don't like it being behind me. But it says this, do not be conformed to this world. Romans 12, 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So here's my concept. I look at an inventory. In other words, if the thoughts that I'm thinking haven't proved the will of God, they are subject to eviction. They're not proving God's will in me, out. They got to prove it. They have to be evidence. They have to substantiate God's plan. There it is. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The renewing of your mind is the basis, is the foundation for proving God's will. So it is God's will in my life to treat my wife the way Christ loved the church, right? That's what it says in Ephesians. So my thoughts that are contrary to that have to be cast down, because they are not going to prove the will of God. And it is my heart's desire as a believer to do God's will. Look at somebody and say, I want to do God's will. Everybody here wants to do God's will. Is that true? Amen? Come on, say amen. So we want to do God's will. You cannot do God's will unless you have proof. You can't prove his will. You can't establish his will unless your mind's been renewed. I can't do it. That's why a lot of people will say to me, oh, I tried. I just love him so much. I tried. I told him we weren't going to have sex anymore. I tried, but I failed. No, you didn't fall. You dove in. Yes, you did. Because you had sex before you got in the bed. You had it up here. Right? So any thought that doesn't prove the will of God has to go. So every day I have to sit down. I have to be thinking, okay, how was I thinking today? Did I think right about that person? I came home and I complained to Tina and I said this or I said that. Oh man, that doesn't prove the will of God. That proves the will of man. That proves my pride. Oh gee, that proves my unbelief. That proves my doubt. That proves my anger. That proves my carnal nature. Strike. And a couple of things I want to do. I want to repent of those. And I want to tell myself that you're not permitted to think those thoughts anymore. And if I catch you again. You know, some of you got to get mean with yourself. You know, you ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself. I look myself in the mirror. I say, hey, you, I'm talking to you. I feel crazy when I do that. But it's a good thing, though. You got to take authority over it. And you have to begin to say, no, you're not permitted to think that way. So take inventory of your thoughts daily. Number five, learn to value your soul. I think that we have more value for our spirit than we do our soul. And we need to learn how to value our soul. You know, mind, your will, and your emotions. The devil will do everything he can to pollute your soul. Mess your soul up. Abuse your soul. Reject your soul. You know, stain your soul with all kinds of experiences. And that's why the redemption of Christ, he redeems our soul. That's why it's a process. You give your life to Christ, but you know what? I come in with a mind that's still thinking back there. Or my heart, my will is still strong and it's not submitted to God yet. Or my emotions have been frayed by so much trouble and so much pain. And yet I'm trying to serve God, but emotionally, man, I'm mad. I'm hurting. I'm still angry. I haven't forgiven there yet. But you know what? You need to learn to value your soul. Because this is where the enemy will come in and devalue your soul. That you're not worth the redemption. That you have no hope of recovery. And suddenly now you can give up on yourself. Do you know there are a lot of Christians who have given up on themselves? They will be in a church and help others, but they can't seem to help themselves. You've got to make your soul a priority. God gave me my soul. It was created for the purpose of my expressing my love for Him. Because I have I don't want to go there. But my thought processes of being able to receive life from God is expressed through my soul. That's why we hear, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I love the worship. I mean, the worship in Africa is incredible. I mean, all they have is a drum. And not a drum like those, but just a drum. And maybe they have a synthesizer that plays the same kind of beat. The ding, 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 ding. And you get all these 200-300 people in there, and they just make the music. And they're expressing their soul's love for God. And that's why, see, I want to meet you. But you know, there are many of us who haven't even met ourselves. Because we are hesitant. We are afraid to be who we are. Because people have rejected us. People have hurt us. People have abused us. And now we live through life trying to live the way we think others will accept us or like us. And we never discover who we are. You and I have got to be free in that area. And every day, I believe, to spiritualize your mind, you have to value your soul. Say, God, thank you for making me the way I am. I'm the coolest dude. Thank you, God. I thank you. You made me to love apple crumb pie. Although I can't eat it that much, but I love it. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me an affection for my wife. We were talking about it the other day. I said, from the first day I saw you, I fell in love with you. You put a spell on me, baby. You know, I love being me. But I haven't always been able to be me. Because I dealt with a spirit of rejection in my life. So much of it, I had a hard time being me because I didn't think people would like me. So I had to figure you out. I figured out, okay, this is probably what she wants. And then I'd become that. You know, that's a horrible way to live. That keeps you earthly. Learn to value your soul. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, or chapter 6 rather, in verse 26. He said, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Say that last sentence. Are you not of more value than they? Can you do this for me? And I know it's funny because I always do this in church, but just look at somebody and say, you are of more value than they. Come on. You are of more value than they are. Listen, you know what? We don't hear that enough. People don't tell us that enough. We don't communicate that enough. And we don't tell ourselves that enough. I mean, you know, not that God couldn't, I mean, you know, he could replace me tomorrow, but God needs me. He put a lot into me. From the foundation of the world, he knew me. Before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. He wrote a book about me. He needs me. Well, God doesn't need you. He can create another one of you. But that's not what he's going to do. He values me. He has an investment in me. And when I get up in the morning, it's like, hey, he's awake. Look at him. I'm proud of him. He is like awesome. And we walk around feeling so defeated and so inadequate. You've got to learn to value your soul. Now, don't let it cross over into pride. And you know what? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the fact that God has invested in you. He's given you a mind. And we don't have the mind of this world. We have the mind of Christ. And we have power and love and sound mind, you see, that God has given to us. So we learn to value our soul. And then finally, number 6, keep it pure. Keep your mind pure. And I tell you, you know, it's not always just with like sex stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with suspicions of others. I know what she's thinking. No, you don't. How do you know what she's thinking? And see, your mind has become defiled. And it would be bad enough if that's all that happened. But here's what normally happens with a defiled mind. I'll come over and defile Tossies. Because I have to talk to him about you. Now he's got defilement. So we have to be very careful to keep our minds pure. And I have to work on this. This is a real important factor for me because I don't have this down. I mean, I have to work on this all the time. I was working with a lot of stuff today, administration. We're planning the couples retreat for February, and we've got, you know, all this stuff going on. I'm in this administrative meeting. I'm going, ay, 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 ay. And then some of the situation came up with the staff, and I drew a conclusion before I knew the facts. Because I've been here 30 years, and I know people, and I know them, and I know what you're thinking. And I already figured it out, and I had judged them, sentenced them. It was done. And you know what? I found out I was wrong. That's not easy for me to admit, but I was wrong because I didn't keep my mind pure. A pure mind believes the best about everybody. A pure mind doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Okay, God, I don't know that we are capable of living on that level. Oh, yes, we can. If you make it your goal, if it's part of your daily routine of these six principles where I want to keep my mind pure. You see, I was raised in an environment with my family that was super negative about everything. Never half full, always half empty. And so it's difficult. It was hard for me to break out of that. And still, all these years serving the Lord in the Word and renewing my mind and staying on Him, I still have to struggle with that. Keep your mind pure. And if someone comes to you and they want to begin talking about somebody else and they're not present, you know, don't allow them to do that. Say, excuse me, have you spoke to them about this issue that you're telling me? So, well, no, I haven't. Well, I suggest that you do because right now you're out of biblical order. And I don't want to be defiled because my pastor taught me that number six to spiritualize your mind is to keep it pure. And right now you're messing with my mind. They'd go, well, I'm sorry. I'm going, hey, all right. Instead of just sitting there and taking it. Yeah, what else happened? Really? Oh, cool. No kidding. I always thought that about them. And you just delve right into it. You don't want to do that. Why? Because a carnal mind will result in, and a spiritual mind results in life and peace. Which one you want? Of course you do. So then why would you not allow your mind to stay pure? Here's what Philippians says, chapter 4, verse 8. These aren't verses that are foreign to you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's enough right there. We could preach right there. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are noble. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think, meditate on these things. I like the Living Bible translation in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. My heart, my mind, many would interpret that. My mind, my heart determines the course of my life. And so it is a challenge every day of our life. As I shared with this young man who's going through this marital strife, I said, I don't have options in my life. I don't have an option to read my Bible or not read my Bible or get on my knees and thank God for the quality of life that He's afforded to me, to thank Him for all the basics in my life. I don't have an option not to pray in the Holy Ghost. That's not an option for me because I have chosen to be a man that follows after God. So therefore, that goes with it. It's not an option. He said, well, I need to get back in church. I said, you know, church won't help you, because you can still be in church and not practice these disciplines and be as bad off in church as you were out of church. It doesn't really matter. You can't make yourself successful in life and peace by sitting in a chair. You might as well go to the mall and sit in a chair. Right? So we have to engage in these principles. So we know then it determines the course of our life. And we've known that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But did you know your body possesses a soul that has to be kept pure? And it has to be kept pure every day. So God is listening to what is going on inside of us more than what we are saying with our mouths. And so I just want my thoughts to be pleasing to him. I like that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, above all you could think or ask or think rather. And I like that because I don't even have to talk. God's like, yeah, I'm connected with you, Lou. I like your thinking. I like the way you think, boy. That's because I think like you, Dad. I know, son. Isn't it great? Yeah, Dad. See? Do you ever get around somebody and go, wow, I'm impressed. I like the way they think. And that's exactly how the Holy Spirit enjoys being with the God's people that think the way the Father does. He's attracted to it. So you want the Holy Spirit involved in your life, you got to think the way God thinks. And so he likes that. He's attracted to that. So we know that if we're going to honor God with our lips, our heart will be far from him. And so how to overrule my thinking? You know, sometimes it's difficult. Because you have these thoughts going through your mind, and it's hard to get them out. Have you ever had trouble getting some thinking thoughts out of your mind? You know, if you have to, just start shouting. Because if I ask you now, and I've used this illustration many times, got from Creflo Dollar, started count to 10 in your mind. You know, if I said, okay, start counting. Okay, you started counting? All right, now stop and say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. What happened to your count? It stopped, because when you speak, you can't think. And sometimes when our thoughts are going through our head, you just have to get up, get your confessional out, and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Just get the Bible out and start reading it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Whatever it takes, because when you speak out loud, your mind is subjected to your will of expression. And so you can control your thoughts. But what do we do many times? If you're like me, middle of the night, 4 a.m, you're laying there and your thoughts are going, ooh, oh no, I forgot to turn the iron off. It's probably burning right now. I think I smell smoke. It's just dumb stuff. Did you ever have that? It's just dumb stuff happening to you in the middle of the night. Now, if you have to shout, get out of the bedroom and don't wake up your spouse if that's the case. So go out there somewhere and go, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But open up your mouth and begin to speak. And I think this is how we defeat these thoughts from overpowering us. So how many of us tonight want to walk in life and peace? Man, I do. I want life and peace in my life. I want to prove the will of God. All right, I want to prove the will of God. So in order to do that, I got to make the choice. It's my choice. I'm going to stay my mind on God. Number two, I'm going to ventilate my mind by praying in the Holy Ghost and let God invest in my thinking, spiritual mysteries that I can be initiated through my thought processes into my daily life. Number three, I'm going to fill my mind with the Word of God. I'm not going to be overtaken by my circumstances, but I'm going to be overtaken by what is written. Jesus was overtaken by what is written. The devil created such circumstances for him. And he said, you see all these kingdoms? They can be yours. Just worship me. You know, he went through the whole thing. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Hey, boy, are you hungry? What Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And those thoughts had to go. Isn't that incredible? Because Jesus was overtaken by the word, not by his hunger. Ooh, I love that. Number four, take an inventory daily. If the thoughts aren't proving the will of God, get them out. Cast them out. Eviction notice. Get rid of them. Number five, learn to value your soul. You are precious in the sight of God. You have so much to offer. You are a valuable part of this ministry and this church and the people that you're surrounded with. You contribute. You are so critically important. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you don't have anything to contribute. That is not true. Learn to value yourself. How much more? How much more than they? How much more than they does your Heavenly Father value you? And then the last one, keep it pure. Don't let the thoughts of judgment, thoughts of suspicion, thoughts of motive come into your mind. It will pollute you. It will set in like gangrene. And before you know it, your life is so polluted that you can't function. And so we want to be able to rule our thoughts by sometimes having to take our words and just begin to confess. Now, I know many of you use confessionals every day. I use the personal confession book by Copeland, not the Kenneth Copeland, the other Copeland. I don't know what his first name is. Jermaine Copeland. Yeah, the personal confession little book. If you don't have one of those, get one of those or get something like that and just begin to decree and declare over your life every day. And you know, I was doing one today about bearing fruit and by loving others. And you say, well, I love people, and I've got some fruit in my life. Well, you know, I don't have enough. And so I'm just going to make sure that myself understands that my purpose on the earth today is to bear fruit and to love other people, just in case it forgets. Or just in case circumstances press it and begin to cause it to operate on the opposite side of that. I don't take anything for granted because I know my nature. I know my old nature. My old nature is a sin nature, and it's prone to sin. And it responds to sin. It's easily tempted. And so I have to keep it subjected to the word of God. In other words, I have to keep it under so I can be over, right? The new life in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me pray for you and we'll close tonight. Thank you so much for coming out here this evening on this wintry night. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray tonight for individuals that maybe have been big challenges like this area. This has been a big challenge for you because you can still hear your mom. You can still hear your dad say what they've said. You can still hear your ex-husband or wife. You could still hear these thoughts of defeat or failure or unworthiness, and they're like a bombardment every day. It's sort of like a war. Where these bombs are dropping from planes, constantly destroying the infrastructure of your whole life. And they're like bombing raids every day, coming back. And you're running for the shelter constantly, running to get out of the way so that you won't get injured and won't get defeated. And you're living a life, but it's not like the life that God had described for you or had pertained in his word. So I'm just going to believe tonight that these little principles are going to be initiated. And you're going to have the will. That's what I really want to pray about, that you would get the will to do this. You have to have the determination. I told this young man yesterday, 3 D's. I want you to be determined. I want you to get the desire. And I want you to create the discipline in your life. If you'll have those 3 D's, you'll break through this and you'll get your marriage back together. I can promise you that. So tonight, if you're struggling with that and you want to spiritualize your mind, you got to have the determination, you got to have the desire, and you got to take the discipline and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to let my life live on the fringes anymore. I'm taking charge. I'm taking control. I'm going to walk with God, and God's going to enable me because he has promised me life and peace. Amen? So let's stand. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for every person. You might just want to lift your hand before the Lord, posture yourself in prayer. Thank you, Father God, because I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are speaking right now. Even as I've been ministering this word, Lord, the Holy Ghost has been speaking to people and be releasing them, oh God, in the realm of the Spirit. I pray now, Father God, that these bomb shelters that we've been running into for safety will no longer be needed, oh God, because we will see the turnaround. Those bombs that have been dropping, that destruction that has been coming is as a result, oh God, of our vulnerabilities. But tonight, Father, we are shoring it up. We are keeping our minds stayed on you. We are going to fix our mind on things above and not on the things of this earth, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to begin praying in the Holy Spirit every day to ventilate our mind and let mysteries come to our mind, things unknown to us that will be made known to our natural thinking, that we might fill our mind with the word of God and be overtaken by the word. I speak now, Lord God, an overtaking word to every man and woman in this room tonight. I also pray, Father God, that we would take an inventory daily of our lives and our thoughts. And Father, if there's anything that doesn't line up or prove the will of God, that it be evicted in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that these folks are valued by you, that you love them so much, so much, so much, so much, you sent your only begotten Son to die die for them. So, Father, make this real tonight. And we purpose tonight to keep our minds pure. We're not going to believe the worst. We're going to believe the best about people. We're going to begin to speak the best, oh God. We're not going to allow impure thoughts to come into our mind. Father, don't subject us to that realm, Lord. We thank you that today we can walk free of that. Even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. We're free. We're free in Jesus Christ. So God, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the victory. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory. Hallelujah. Now let's just worship him and thank him for what he's done and what he's going to do in our life. Come on. Let's begin to thank him. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you need to teach this to your children. You need to make this a priority in your home. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we want to just worship you now because you've given us the way to life and peace. You said you are the way, you are the life, and you are the truth. And we come to you tonight, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. We come to you, Lord. And you are worthy, Jesus. And we celebrate your glory. We celebrate your presence, God. We celebrate your might and your strength in our life, God. We are renewed like an eagle every day, Father. We are strong in the power of your might. Hallelujah. We love you so much, God. We love you so much, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. If you would, just with someone near you, just put your hand on their shoulder. Would you begin to pray for them? Pray that they would be empowered in this discipline, that they would have the determination, that they would have the desire. Come on, just pray for them, that they would be empowered in their daily life, that they would walk out of here thinking, you know what? I could practice these principles. They could practice these principles, and they will never be the same. That they're going to walk so much stronger, so much more positively. They're going to be examples of the faith. They're going to be victorious in so many ways. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that they're not going to slip. They're not going to slip, oh God. They're going to take these six principles, and they're going to initiate them every day. I thank you, Father, that there is big change coming. Just begin to prophesy over them. There's big change coming in their life. There's big change coming because, Lord, your word tells us, Father, that our futures, our heart determines the course of our future. And so, Lord, I thank you right now. I come in agreement with my brother, my wife, my friend, whoever it is that I'm praying for, that the course of their life is about to change. The determination of this principle will change their future and will change and alter their life from this day forward. On this day, the 16th day of December, we believe, God, that this is the last day of unresolved, of confusion, of those interceptions and those breakdowns. It's the last day that we're moving forward, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're putting things together again. And we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Well, next Wednesday, if you would, why don't you invite somebody to come? Because it's going to be great. It's going to be spectacular. This stage won't even be big enough for all the singers. It's going to be like crazy. It's good. And I'm going to preach a little message as well. And we're going to have communion together. And then we'll have candelabras all over. And we're going to have gifts for the children. And then some cookies and stuff. I mean, it's just going to be like a Christmas thing. Tina said, well, tell the people to wear red and green. So if you want to wear red and green, wear red and green. Dress up, you know, be all that stuff. I might even put a tie. How about if I put a tie on? I'll wear a tie. Nah, forget it. But it's Christmas. Okay. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next week, all right? Or no, we'll see you Sunday, right? Give somebody a high five on the way out. Holy Ghost high five, right? Okay. Woo! Come on.